This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, July 12, 2013. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Support for KUAF comes from the EurekaSprings.org website, a guide for shopping, art galleries, historic tours, and spa locations. The site also includes information on horseback riding, canoeing, hiking, and other outdoor activities on the web at EurekaSprings.org. On this edition of Ozarks, art from chainsaws, performance from fire, honky-tonk on the Mary Baker Rumsey Steinway, and our regular Friday conversations with Becca Martin Brown and Michael Tilley.
But first, a recent analysis by a liberal think tank in Washington, D.C. estimates that undocumented immigrants pay $72.4 million a year in state and local taxes in Arkansas. The report from the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy also suggests that comprehensive immigration reform could boost state revenues. Rich Huddleston is the executive director of Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families.
If Congress was to adopt a reform, the estimates from this study are that the state and local tax they pay would increase by roughly $16 million. So I think this study clearly shows that doing the right thing, adopting immigration reform, would help state and local governments in Arkansas.
The analysis from the Institute assumes a newly legalized immigrant population of 55,000 in Arkansas fully participates in federal, state, and local tax systems.
According to statistics released by the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund, Arkansas is now ranked number 2 in the country for police officer fatalities. The organization's mid-year report shows that 6 officers have been killed in the line of duty during the first half of 2013, with traffic-related accidents being the primary cause. Communications Director Steve Greninger says while even one fatality is too much, Arkansas's numbers seem unusual.
For Arkansas, it does seem like a higher number than normal. To see Arkansas up as one of the top states, second behind California at the mid-year point of the year, is high.
The organization also says the national numbers reflect a 9% increase from 2012, which saw 47 fallen officers.
Yesterday, we told you Main Street Siloam Springs received a downtown revitalization grant through Main Street Arkansas that will be used for facade improvements in downtown Siloam. The group has also received grants officials say will help create a master plan for developing the city's downtown area. Meredith Bergstrom is the director of Main Street Siloam Springs. She says a master plan is a new step for the city.
Currently, we're not operating off any sort of master plan that the city has created in collaboration with our downtown program. So we're going to be taking some bold new steps and hiring a planning firm to help us facilitate a 5 to 7 year master plan. So there will be more exciting things to come from downtown Siloam.
Bergstrom says the master plan will likely focus on highlighting features of the downtown area that aren't clearly marked for residents and visitors.
Siloam Springs was so named because of 28 springs that feed into Sager Creek. And right now we have 3 historic spring sites that we'd like to restore and point visitors to tell our history. We'd also like to connect our downtown to some of our other major assets. We have some really beautiful areas in Siloam, City Lake to the north of town, an anticipated Illinois River Kayak Park to the south of town. And we want to make sure that our downtown, as sort of the core of our community and a visitor destination, is connected to those other parts of Siloam, be it through trails or better signage.
The master plan will also address music, art, and other entertainment programming for residents and other visitors to the downtown area.
The Arkansas Public Service Commission has approved a plan by Southwestern Electric Power Company intended to extend the life of the Flint Creek Coal Power Plant in Gentry. Flint Creek is the primary source of electricity to Northwest Arkansas, and SWEPCO requested approval for a plan to install a scrubber system in order to meet new Environmental Protection Agency emission standards regarding mercury, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxide, particulate matter, and other hazardous air pollutants. The plan proposed by SWEPCO and approved by the APSC would cost about $408 million, and according to filings with the Public Service Commission, the construction would take about 30 months. Though the commission didn't rule on any potential rate increases that would result from the plan, SWEPCO predicted in its filing that installation of the new environmental controls would create an incremental base revenue requirement of about $42.7 million in 2017. Of that revenue requirement, $9.8 million would be allocated to Arkansas, meaning that base rates are projected to increase by 3.9% for residential customers in Arkansas.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals last night fell to the Springfield Cardinals 4-3 in extra innings. It's the second of a four-game homestand. The series does continue tonight at Arvest Ballpark in Springdale.
According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, part of Arkansas is now under moderate drought conditions. Hot temperatures have brought abnormally dry conditions to the western half of the state, but National Weather Service meteorologist John Lewis says conditions have improved since 2012.
Last year was by far worse than the conditions we've had this year. For the first 6 months of the year, January through June of last year, if you were to take a statewide average as far as rain, we had about 18.5 inches. This year, through the first 6 months, we're closer to like 28 inches. So we're 9 to 10 inches above what we had last year.
While Lewis says some rainfall has brought relief to affected parts of the state, dry conditions will continue in the coming weeks. So far, 16 counties, including Madison, Newton, Johnson, Pope, and Searcy counties, have posted burn bans. And Washington County officials yesterday issued a red flag fire alert, meaning that while burning isn't expressly prohibited, residents are discouraged from any outdoor burning until conditions improve. Clear tonight with lows in the 60s throughout the listening area. Tomorrow, sunny with highs from 90 in northwest Arkansas to 94 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with lows from 62 in northwest Arkansas to 69 in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone is Michael Tilley, who is the editor and publisher of the CityWire.com that covers news, politics, business, culture, and more for the entire KUAF listening area. Michael, we are in the middle of July 2013, but one of the top stories on the CityWire.com this week is dealing with the political season of 2014.
Well, yes, it's upon us, and that's an interesting point. We've had some folks say, you know, why are you already covering politics? Well, if you think about it, the filing period is March, so less than a year away. The primary, the first round of primary, obviously, is in May. So we're coming. I mean, the 2014 cycle is all but upon us. And as these people make announcements and say interesting things, we can't just ignore them. So it has definitely started up.
Well, your reporter Ryan Saylor talked to Mike Ross, who is seeking the Democratic nomination for governor in 2014, and they covered some hot-button issues, including gay marriage, which, of course, was back in the news because Grant Tenniel of the Arkansas Economic Development Commission this week had said that he thinks gay marriage would be a good idea for Arkansas. It would help bring some businesses in.
Yes, and he, he works for a Democratic boss, and he's been affiliated with the Democratic Party, but he's not getting much support from the party. Mike Ross, who's running for governor, said he was in Fort Smith for a sheriff's association meeting on Wednesday. He said that he didn't think that was the way to conduct economic development. That Arkansas's incentive packages, its workforce, those type of things are what recruit companies and not its social policy. So he even suggested that Grant did not have any facts or evidence to back up his claim. So it's been an interesting issue on several levels. First, it's curious as to why, Grant's not a policymaker; he's the head of a state agency. But it's interesting, why he would assert himself. And I mean, regardless of what you think about this issue, it's an interesting interesting that he would come out and be so vocal about it. I mean, you may have to admire his courage, but you have to wonder about his judgment.
Arkansas is at the top of a list, not one the state would like to be on, and that is highest in the nation last month for bank repossessions of homes.
Right, and there are two ways to look at this, Kyle. I mean, we've had the numbers have been depressed for a couple years, the foreclosure filing numbers. There was a legal matter over in East Arkansas in which a court said that out-of-state banks, out-of-state financial services companies can't process these non-judicial mortgages. Well, that's all been cleared up, and In fact, an appellate court just recently affirmed a decision that, yes, indeed, those out-of-state financial companies can do that, can process nonjudicial firms. So I think what we're seeing two things, especially in Northwest Arkansas. We're seeing some of those banks some put that foreclosed property back into the system. When home sales are on the increase, when home prices are on the increase, these banks see this as an opportunity to, okay, let's put some of these back in the market. Let's try to get our money back. This is a good time. But these banks are also under pressure. They know more than anyone else if they throw too many of those foreclosed properties out there in the mix, it can have a dampening effect on the market. It can, in fact, reverse the increase in prices and push those back down. So it's going to be interesting. Kim Souza, who wrote the story, and I were talking about this. It's going to be interesting to see how these numbers continue in the next, 90, 120 days. If they continue to be this high, it would have a negative effect on the overall Arkansas home sales industry. But as we say with many of these reports, it bears watching.
Yeah, when you look at the 6 months totals for 2013 to 2012, there are increases in all of the most populated counties in our region. Benton County went from 393 the first 6 months of 2012 to 718 January through June this year.
Yeah, they're pushing those out. I mean, I think, like I said, what we're seeing is a lot of these banks, a lot of these people holding this property, it's, let's strike while the iron's hot kind of thing. And that the market, as dynamic, as robust as that market is in Benton County, that kind of increase cannot be sustained without having some type of negative effect, some type of downward pressure on home prices in that area. So, which for market purists out there, that's the way it should work. Let the market decide the supply and demand, the price points, and that type of thing.
We've spent a few days trying to figure out what the word journey means. This comes from Act 746, what some people call the open carry, and the Attorney General's office came out with an opinion on that that goes all the way back to some of the earliest days of Arkansas.
Yes. I need to be polite about this. And it really doesn't matter what my opinion is on the law. And I'm not an attorney, and I don't even play one on TV, so let's put that out there. But McDaniel's opinion was it was interesting. I mean, he, as you said, I've read these opinions now for 20-something years, and literally, typically there's a flow to it, and there's recent case law and that type of thing. But this was an interesting, it's almost like he was stretching, he was doing everything he could to make sure that journey was defined in such a way so that it did not allow for open carry of weapons. And the group Arkansas Carry, that they maintain that it does, that the law, that a literal interpretation of the law means that as you journey, you can have a weapon on you. So I think there's a whole different argument about, do we want everybody running around with a handgun on their side? But it was an interesting opinion, and we have to remember that McDaniel is a former police officer. He's with the Jonesboro Police Department. Most police agencies, most sheriff's departments do not support open carry type laws. So it was a strained opinion, but I was not surprised that he came out with that opinion.
Arkansas Carry, of course, the organization that said that this did say that could be carried, they may or may not seek legal challenges to this.
They're thinking about that, and we've been told we'd be notified when they do. Interestingly enough, they're telling their members that, look, we may not like McDaniel's opinion, but that's how the law is going to be interpreted, so you might want to be careful with don't go around toting your handgun on your side come August.
Yes, exactly. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, culture, guns, and more for the KUAF, KUAF listening area. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Next time on Here and Now, Sanford, Florida prepares for a verdict in the Trayvon Martin case. Plus, how do some people react when a doctor tells them not to use Q-tips?
No, don't deprive me of the ecstasy. It's ecstasy Q-tipping my ears.
Next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
Here and Now this afternoon, beginning at 1 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
It is Friday, July 12th, 2013, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now is Becca Martin-Brown, Features Editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
I know. Welcome back. How was your trip from New Orleans?
I had a wonderful trip to New Orleans, and then I came back and scrambled to get it together so I can come and bring you our Chinese menu theme for the week.
Excellent. Chinese menu seems appropriate for when you're scrambling. You don't have a lot of time to get something together. You order takeout Chinese food. Exactly.
So you can take out from column A, which is music,
okay,
column B, which is family fun, mm-hmm, and column C, which is theater.
Perfect. And so we'll start with A.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Why not?
Gary Allen is going to be in town.
Yeah, he's at the Amp tonight.
I have no idea who this person is.
Country music star.
That I know. And Kevin Kinder says he's been number one on the charts with Every Storm Runs Out of Rain. Sounds like a good song.
It does.
And he'll be performing tonight with special guest Back Road Anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And after this little string of tour dates, he'll be on tour with Sheryl Crow for a string of co-headlining dates.
All right.
So that'll be cool.
That is cool.
Showtime is 7:30 tonight, and tickets start at $31.50.
Mm-hmm.
That's at the Amp in Fayetteville, and you get your tickets through the Walton Arts Center at 443-5600. David Allen Coe is in town.
He is.
And he will be at the Benton County Fairgrounds tonight. It's a show that was apparently postponed when he had a car accident.
Oh, okay.
So he is now here to make it up at 7 o'clock tonight, and tickets for that are $35.
And we'll have a conversation with an opening band for him just coming up in the show.
Excellent. There's a cool thing going on Saturday at Crystal Bridges at 11, mm-hmm, the restaurant. At 3:30, the time. Confused yet? It's called Afternoon Unwind, and it's American Jazz by Handmade Moments.
Yes, I have heard them at something last year.
Wonderful.
Or maybe earlier this year. I really enjoyed the singer. She has an excellent voice.
Cool.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, she is in the band Don't Stop Please, who we will have on the show next week.
You're so good. The show is free, and it's from 3:30 to 5 on Saturday at Crystal Bridges. Big Bad Gina has a new album coming out Saturday night at Teatro Scarpino.
They do. Shine Your Light.
That's it. Made possible through Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out what I can make possible through Kickstarter.
Just about anything.
Yeah.
From what I understand.
Move to New Orleans through Kickstarter. Anyway, admission to Saturday's 8 p.m. show is $10. And Bob Dureau is going to be in town. I bet you know about that.
We do know a little bit about that. Had him a conversation with him via phone earlier on the show, earlier this week, excuse me. And he'll be here tomorrow. Well, he was in our studio performing today and just rehearsing for, mm-hmm, the show for tomorrow.
I am so fascinated by this. Our music writer, Kevin Kinder, talked to him. Of course, he's here as part of the KUAF Summer Jazz Series. He has been playing most of 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the guy who wrote the first Schoolhouse Rock.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know anything about jazz, and you don't even care anything about jazz, think about Schoolhouse Rock. Go to the show. 8 o'clock tomorrow night at the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville, and tickets are just $25.
Okay.
Column B is family fun.
Lots of that happening.
And I'm putting opera down as family fun because they're doing the Pirates of Penzance tonight at 7:30. At Opera in the Ozarks. It's a great kids show. Gilbert and Sullivan. It's the show that I Am the Very Model of the Modern Major General came from.
Yes, I know Christina Thomas is there this evening, and I'm going to be there tomorrow for the show that's there tomorrow, Elixir of Love.
Cool. So that's happening at 7:30 today at Inspiration Point near Eureka Springs, and tickets are $20 to $25. You can go to opera.org to find out more.
Mm-hmm.
It's second Saturday music in the park tomorrow in Eureka Springs with the Hogtown Hot Club and Cabaret à Trois.
Okay.
At 2 o'clock at Basin Spring Park. That's free. Tomorrow night, this is where I'll be, oddly enough, a show called Lost in the 50s, featuring the hit songs of Buddy Holly, the Platters, the McGuire Sisters, and with Brent Giddens as Elvis Presley. This happens at 5:30 tomorrow at the King Opera House in Van Buren. It's $10, and proceeds go to the Wounded Warrior Fund.
Very good. Entertainment and a good cause.
Exactly. And, of course, tomorrow night is the Firefly fling.
And once again, I'm going to miss it because I will be in Eureka. Every year, I seem to be in the wrong place.
Every year, I try to get there, and it's so full by the time I get there. It is huge. It's at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks in Fayetteville. It features music by Jules Taylor's Shaky Bugs at 6:30, and Still on the Hill at 8 o'clock, and events where you can make things and do fossil rubbings, and you can buy glow things and flit around, and there's a lantern release and glow-in-the-dark hula hoops.
That sounds awesome.
And fire spinners. Mm-hmm. I love it. It starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow night, goes on until 10 at the Botanical Garden, and tickets are $8 a person. And you can find out more at 750-2620. And then there's theater.
Mm-hmm.
Thoroughly Modern Millie.
At the Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale.
Opens this weekend at 7:30 tonight and tomorrow and 3 o'clock Sunday. And it should be great fun. Tickets are $10 to $20, $30, I believe, for tonight's opening soiree, mm-hmm. which includes champagne and chocolates and goodies. Mm-hmm. And then there's B-Side Myself. And I know you've talked to Jamie.
Yes, Kyle had another part of that on yesterday's show.
Okay, fascinated by this. He's not a little boy anymore. First saw him when he was a senior at Bentonville High School, and he played Jesus in Godspell.
Oh.
And was incredibly talented. That was 29 years ago. No, I don't want to know how old you are. Please don't tell me. And he's gone off and gotten bachelor's degrees and master's degrees and become an equity actor in New York, started a rock band called Han Shot First, managed the permanent art collection at Lincoln Center. And the band and the theater and some of these things have come together for B-Side Myself, which is semi-autobiographical
mm-hmm.
about the band. It is a script in hand reading at 2 o'clock on Sunday at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville. Tickets are $10 at the door. And if you've ever seen him in Greater Tuna with David Wright or seen him in a Theater Squared show, go see this show, but know that it's rated R.
Okay, fair warning.
So there's our menu. Go out. Choose.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. The Firefly Fling is Saturday night, tomorrow night, at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks. It's going to include live music events for all members of the family and fire spinning. A.K. Blake will be one of the performers spinning fire tomorrow night at the BGO. Yesterday afternoon, A.K. Blake came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to help explain to me his art form.
Generally, what people think of when they think of fire spinning are fire poi, which are the balls on the end of chains that you swing around, and also the fire staff, like the Hawaiians
right.
traditionally do. But fire spinning is just kind of a broad term. And hula hoops are getting really huge now with the fire spinning community. Have been for a while. But yes, fire spinning is a pretty broad term that covers all those.
Do you do all those things?
No. I specialize in fire staff and a little bit of poi. Generally, you'll find that people have specialties that they generally do, and maybe one or two sort of auxiliary skills that they bring to bear, depending on the circumstance. But myself, I do long staff and double staff, which is it's a long 6-foot pole with big balls of fire on the end that I spin and toss, and it's fun.
Okay. Let's start with how this started.
Okay.
Because no one, I don't think, does this by accident, do they?
I would hope not.
So how did you, what happened?
We were at a festival in Oregon about 8 years ago, and the closing ceremony of the festival consisted of a big fire performance. And I remember just sitting there and thinking, wow, this is cool. Because I'd seen like the sort of the traditional Hawaiian, like, oh, let's go to a Polynesian restaurant, and oh, there's the cheesy sort of fire spinny guy doing his stuff. Yeah, it was cool, but you know. But this was just a more accessible form of it. It sort of springs out of the Burning Man tribal culture. And in that sense, it had this really wonderful aesthetic that went along with it. And there was a whole performance that went around with it. It was made into sort of a fire pageant of sorts instead of just watching a guy do tricks.
There was a narrative of sorts?
Yeah, unspoken, but a narrative.
Right.
And so I remember just like, oh, wow, that's really cool. And I've had a little bit of background in martial arts and always liked the Ninja Turtles and Donatello and his staff in particular. And so about a year after that, I was kind of like looking for a good form of exercise, and it's just kind of something to focus and to, I don't know, be a cathartic outlet for, you know, just the things that we all need catharsis for.
I can run on a treadmill, or someone can get in a swimming pool and do laps.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to scald themselves. That's exercise. So, I mean, there is element of danger.
Sure, yeah. You have to have a sense of adventure. And the sense of danger is definitely part of what's appealing to it. Even practicing without fire, you hurt yourself.
With the staff?
Sure. When I was first learning, I broke my glasses several times.
The staff was not lit at the time.
No.
So that you have to learn first.
Definitely. Yeah, it's definitely a training process. You want to be able to train up to not hitting yourself. And then once you are capable of that, then you can start to think about lighting it on fire under the, you know, under the guide of someone who's kind of been there and can watch out for your safety. And I'm a cook, and so I'm used to working with fire and burning myself.
I think that's an important thing to note, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, it takes a certain degree of comfort with fire to want to sling it around your body at high velocity.
What was it like the very first time you've been practicing? You go, okay, today's the day. I'm going to have a lit staff.
Oh, it was so exhilarating. It's really the first thing that I thought was the sound was just amazing. It's like the swirling, gurgling growl of a dragon, just this swirling around you, and like after experiencing that and like sharing that with some people, like, yeah, that's what I thought too. And that's what a lot of people think, is the sound is really amazing, because you don't expect it, because usually when you see fire, it's not making such a whooshing sound. And so and the heat was amazing too. It's like being the nucleus in an atom of fire, you know? So that was really I don't know, a whole new set of very visceral experiences.
Many entertainers can entertain, and they're probably not ever in danger of hurting someone who's watching them.
Right.
If you sing, if you play guitar, bagpipes, whatever. But if you're throwing fire,
yeah,
you've really got to be careful.
It's true. And that's something we definitely watch out for in performances that we do. Got to make sure that everyone's very far back, like farther back than they think is necessary. It's sometimes you have to be convincing. And it's true. It's a hazardous thing. I'm throwing a staff up into the air, and, you know, something could go wrong. But
you have to concentrate the whole time.
Yeah, it's definitely not something you want to undertake haphazardly. or in a non-concentrated state of mind.
Okay, you're a chef.
Uh-huh.
Which do you think is more dangerous? Someone who knows what they're doing, spinning fire, or a well-trained chef quickly chopping celery with a very good knife?
Oh, that's a tough one, because accidents just always happen, you know? It's never – if you're trained in either one, it's just kind of, you know, half 50-50 sort of scenario. But I've definitely hurt myself more cooking than I have fire spinning.
Where can people find out more?
Well, you can find out more on the Firefly Fling website and also on my Facebook page.
There you go. Thanks so much for coming in.
And thank you.
A.K. Blake is a fire spinner and will be one of the performers at the Firefly Fling Festival at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks. The festival is tomorrow night from 6 until 10. There is an admission charge for the entire festival. You can learn more at bgozarks.org. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night from 10 till midnight. That's Milt Jackson in the background, and you'll be able to hear him on this Saturday edition of Shades of Jazz. We'll also hear music from the Stanley Clark Trio, Kenny Burrell, James Carney, John Beasley, Dave Brubeck, and much more. That's Shades of Jazz, Saturday night at 10 p.m.
This weekend, you have two chances to hear Fort Smith native Robin Horn discuss her artwork. The sculptor will present a program tomorrow afternoon at 1 at the Fort Smith Museum of History. Sunday afternoon, Robin will lecture at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville about her piece Already Set in Motion, which is a part of the museum's permanent collection. During her presentation, she'll discuss her artwork and share a film that documented the process of creating and installing this specific piece.
I was getting to where I didn't know if I was going to be able to make outdoor work much longer. As you get older, things start hurting, and you're thinking, how much longer can I do this? So I got this friend of mine, Matt Bradley, to film making that piece because that was a piece I was working on at the time, and he was available. So luckily, that was the piece that I documented making, and it just worked out terrific because we ended up with footage of it, the installation, and we were able to pair the two so that we have the full video of making the piece and installing the piece here at Crystal Bridges.
The presentation at Crystal Bridges is part of the Great Hall Lecture Series and will also include a question and answer session. Robin says explaining her art to others can sometimes pose a challenge.
It was difficult at first to verbalize what it was I was making. I have had to develop a language to talk about it because people ask. And if you don't answer those questions, somebody's going to answer them for you, and what they might say might not be what it was you were thinking. So it's helped me to, along as time has gone on, through my career, to be able to develop a language to express what it is I'm trying to do so that people understand it a little more. I was at an opening one time and I was thinking, there's nothing anybody can say that's going to make me appreciate a piece of art just by talking about it. If I don't like it visually, then I'm not going to like it after they talk about it. Actually, I was wrong on that, and glad of that, because an artist was discussing why they made what they made and explaining what he had done, and it made sense to me then. So there is a certain amount of verbal language that is effective sometimes when talking about art. For me, most of the time, I just want to look at it, but on occasion, there are times when it's good to have an explanation, and to hear the artist talking about it is always an interesting thing.
Robin Horn will discuss her art at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at the Fort Smith Museum of History and at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville. Both programs are free and open to the public. More information is available at fortsmithmuseum.com or crystalbridges.org. We'll have an extended interview with the artist on Monday's edition of Ozarks at Large.
Mary Alice may have walked away with the crown that day, but I had learned an invaluable lesson. I was not going to get by on my looks.
I was worried about the ensuing death certificate and what my final cause of death would be listed as in my obituary. Death by fishhook, death by bass boat.
After fingerprinting, they escorted us to a small cell in the back. The scene was mildly amusing. Laurel's boys in blue seemed more Barney Fife than Kojak.
Tales from the South, Saturday afternoon at 3:30 on KUAF.
This is Ozarks at Large. If you're a country music fan looking for entertainment in Northwest Arkansas this evening, you have not one, but two concert options. At the Arkansas Music Pavilion, which is located on the Washington County Fairgrounds, Back Road Anthem will open for headliner Gary Allen. at the Benton County Fairgrounds. The Cole Reeves Band is one of the groups opening for David Allen Coe. Cole Reeves, his older brother Matt, and their drummer Nate Wong comprise the Cole Reeves Band. The local musician stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio last week, and Cole began the conversation with Kyle and I by explaining how he got his start in music at an early age.
The first time I ever remember singing was with my dad. He went over to do, out of all gigs, my dad worked bars his whole life, but this was a nursing home gig. And he went over there, and he got me up, and I still remember the song I sang. It was an Elvis song called Money Honey. And I sang, the words to it was, the landlord rang my front door bell. I let it ring for a long, long spell. I went to the windows and peeked through the blinds. And I used to say, I went to the window and peed through the blinds. That's what I thought the words were that age. And then we moved out to Nevada when I was 4. That's when I actually started singing. My dad worked at a club called the Stage Stop. He used to get me up all the time for that, every night, 3 nights a week he'd get me up. He worked this bar. And Matt and my brother and I would just go to the bar and just hang out every night.
Bring our friends down there, or 8-year-old little third grader friends, and just party up at the bar.
We'd go down there.
Tanked on cherry coke.
No, we'd go down there and he'd get him and I up to do a couple of songs, and that's when we started, really. Matt started there years before I did.
And you moved to Nevada from?
From Bella Vista, Arkansas.
Okay.
I guess you were 4 or 5, and you would have been just a little bit older, man.
Yeah, well, I was 9 or 10 at the time.
Did it just seem like natural? This is what we do.
Yeah,
you know, get up with dad and
yeah.
And was it what? Just singing at the time?
I'm thinking at that time it was. I started off originally as a drummer, and then at about 11 years old, my dad had this biker for a drummer for some weird reason, and. He went to work on Sunday for the afternoon gig that he had, and when he got there, the drums were all gone, and so was the drummer. He didn't have a drummer, so he called up my mom, and he said, "You got to get Maddie down here now," he said, "because I got to have a drummer." And my dad is like, he doesn't like work like normal bands. He goes like 4 hours straight without breaks, and he'll do medleys that last for 30, 40 minutes at a time. He doesn't have a set list, and so I remember my little arms were just killing me. And after that night, I started playing the guitar. And I thought, I'm done being a drummer, man. This is too hard. I don't like lugging stuff around. And so, at that time, it was just normal. I mean, we'd go to school, and everybody else thought it was unnormal. But it was just, you know, it was fine to us.
What were you guys hearing in the house? I mean, obviously, you're hearing a lot of music when you were playing with your dad. But what would you grow up on?
Norman, my dad has never been a big radio listener. He's never played a lot of music in the car. He would just kind of, occasionally he'd just one off, he'd sit around and just strum an acoustic guitar occasionally and sit and sing one of those just songs that was over your head, you'd never heard it before. And you know, I'd talk to him, hey, who does that song? And eventually it just got to where, or he'd throw in a George Jones cassette or something like that. We grew up on classic country, and I just occasionally hear a new song until I just started getting old enough to where I could go find it myself and listen to it and learn new stuff. And my dad had a repertoire of 800 songs that he knew by heart. And so he would just, every night I would set, eventually he moved from that club, the Stage Shop, to a club called the Saddle West. And he quit doing 3 nights a week. He started doing private parties and one Saturday and Sunday, Saturday in Vegas and Sunday at the Saddle West. And I would set off to the side of the stage after I would sing, and I would just sit and listen to him playing. Occasionally I'd come out and the drummer would let me hold a drumstick and hit the snare when he was hitting the hi-hats and doing the kick. He'd let me hit the snare. And I started there just listening, and eventually I started learning it from just hearing him sing the songs over and over again.
Well, we keep mentioning other drummers. We should probably bring your drummer into the conversation.
A legend.
Yeah, well, I mean, a legend. No, I mean, myth, at this time ball that they're talking about, I was literally on the other side of the planet. I was in Hong Kong where I grew up. At that time, I played piano, just like every other kid in Hong Kong.
That's
literally
what I've heard.
But then I did a little bit of flute playing, a little sax playing, which they probably don't even know about. And then I moved to the U.S. in 01, and I started playing the drums then. And that's when, you know, I started on a trajectory to, you know, having music as my career. And yeah, I started doing that. I ended up going to Berklee College of Music, which is cool, but you know, these guys didn't go to music school, and here we are sitting in the same place. So, and it cost me a pretty penny to do it. So.
Yeah, but don't let him fool you. This guy can play anything, too, man. He can't, what was that thing? Blowing through and playing piano on at the same time?
Oh, yeah. Little instrument called the melodica.
Melodica. Yeah. This,
or in my words, a mini-cordion.
Yeah. And then one time we switched off on the drums during a Wipeout solo, and he grabs my guitar and starts playing it, and I'm just blown away.
Yeah, one time we did a full rotation. Like, yes. Like Matt gets on the drums, and I got on the guitar, and we did that.
Well, how did this trio come to be then? I mean, Hong Kong and then Nevada / Bella Vista.
Yeah.
And Gravit.
Yeah.
The Four Corners.
Exactly. No.
All roads.
Exactly. All of them. Garrett Jones, who's a local figure around here, I was needing a drummer one day because everybody else I was using was Flakes at the time. And I've been, like, searching for a drummer for 2 years, ever since I moved back from Nevada. And Garrett gave me a list of drummers. And I called a couple of them, and I couldn't do it. And Nate was either the second or third one on the list. And
I have to talk to Garrett about that.
It was alphabetical, I guess.
Long?
Yeah, Garrett, you're in trouble, bro. Anyways, I called up Nate, man. I said, you want to drum? And I didn't even know if he could drum or not. Sure. I hadn't seen, of course, you know, you're just going and blindsided like that. But he came to the gig, and yeah, Cole started cracking some Bruce Lee jokes at him. And, you know, here we are, you know.
Yeah, man, when I told Matt said, man, we got this kid from Hong Kong playing with us. I said, you're just going to feel really funny if this guy's actually good. And because, I mean, you get so many people, everybody can drum. I mean, everybody says that they can drum.
But Nate actually can.
When we got up there, he's setting up. He's on stage. I look over. I said, hey, what's up, dude? He's like, what are we playing next? And I said, why does this guy from Hong Kong have any idea who the Charlie Daniels Band is? And he's like, oh, well, I've got a list here. And he's written list and, like, written out the way he needs to play them. And he just gets started, and he's like, hey, will you play The South's Gonna Do It Again by Charlie Daniels? And Matt's like, yeah. And Matt goes, you know, hits that lead, and he's, you know, come right in on it, right with us. I was like, shoot, this guy's meant to be.
Well, you've obviously embraced the country music background of your dad and stuff, but was there at any point where you felt the need to rebel, where you're like, really, Dad, you want us to get up and sing again?
Yes. Oh, no, not about the singing, about the music, though.
About the music, though?
I remember when I was 14, I bought a Bob Dylan CD.
Uh-huh.
And my dad, Cole remembers it, and a Lynyrd Skynyrd CD. I bought them both in the same year, and my dad thought I was, like, turning satanic. He didn't understand what his kid was doing, wanting to listen to Bob Dylan or Lynyrd Skynyrd, and then I got into, like, Graham Parsons, which he was a big dude out in Southern California, and my dad,
Biggest Angel,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And it was funny because my dad had met Graham a couple times, and a few of his musicians that are still dear friends of his were in the Flying Burrito Brothers and everything, but he thought, God, my son is just turning into this hippie devil or something. And finally, he learned to embrace it. He loves Graham Parsons and Emmylou Harris now. But he just, at the beginning, he thought I was crazy. So.
Now, there's a CD in the works, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. He actually just released a CD. It's called Matt Reeves Bringing It Home.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful CD. And I'm working on a CD right now currently to release here pretty soon. So.
There doesn't seem to be, at least on the surface, any sibling rivalry here.
No, we tried to put that aside for today.
You're doing a good job.
We work together. He plays, sometimes he'll play lead. Like today, he's playing bass for me. Occasionally, he'll play lead guitar. I'll get a bass player because I can't stand playing bass in my own band. And then I'll play bass in his. I play bass.
Yeah, we both have our own bands. So, yeah, we just try to help each other out. We know each other's stuff, so it's a lot easier to do it that way.
And then we both play for my dad occasionally. He does some gigs. My dad was a 1974 California Country Music Entertainer of the Year. And so he gets he'll do gigs out in Vegas. That's where his following is, out in California and Las Vegas. So, as a matter of fact, he's going out in just a few weeks to do a gig, and we're playing. He's playing lead for him, and I'm playing bass for my dad. So
the Cole Reeves Band will be at the Benton County Fairgrounds July 12th, opening for David Allen Coe. Is that correct?
As well as the Matt Reeves Band.
As well
Matt,
as the Matt Reeves.
Matt has his own band that's going to be there as well. We're both opening for David Allen Coe.
Yeah, we a friend of ours. It originally started out that I was opening the show, and then a guy who was playing guitar for me. Got in on it, and then he started. He's coming on before us, and then Cole got. After that, we got Cole a spot on there too. So, I believe Cole Cook's drumming for you, isn't he?
I believe so. Yeah. But possibly you might see old Nate up there with me too.
He may do a little.
I think I'm busy that night.
we're all going to be there opening up for him and doing that. It's going to be fun.
So if people want more information about the show or more information about you guys, is there a website we should send them to?
www.colereeves.com mm-hmm. or www.mattreevesmusic.com.
Okay.
Or as well, to purchase tickets for the David Allen Coe concert, or our management company is a promoter for the show. It's www.hardluckentertainment.com.
So people can go to those websites to find out more information about the show, more information about you guys, keep up with the progress of the debut album for Cole that's set for sometime this fall?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. But right now, you guys have instruments, and you're going to play some stuff for me?
Yeah.
We'd love to.
You here. All right, this is a song that I wrote with Lindsay Martinez, my manager's wife, Stephen Martinez, with Hard Luck Entertainment. His wife had some songs that she was working on, and then she called me up one day and said, man, I got a really great idea about a song. It's called Whiskey, Women, and You. And I said, all right, well, that sounds good. I said, let me hop in my car real quick. It was about 2 o'clock. I said, let me get it, wake up first, and then I'll jump in my car and come over. So I went over there, and... And she had some of the song done, and she said, I'm wanting to start working on it. This is really good. So it took us a few days of working on it, and then we got it finished. And so I really like this song, and we're going to try it out for y'all and see what you think. All right, we ready?
Yeah.
Started off down a rocky road, too tough to break, too hard to hold. I could run with the best of them, I had the same blood that my daddy did. Something about seeing mama cry, a good woman sees the truth in a lie. It didn't matter what the whole town thought, she kept her faith through the broken hearts. And there was whiskey, there was women, and there was you. Talk to me, I love the sound. Sometimes you don't know you're lost till you're found. I didn't know I was the type. How this rambling man get you for his wife? Lord knows I've made mistakes, but you love me through with all of your grace. I don't know what I would do, 'cause the best of me only comes with you. And there was whiskey, there was women, and got our daughters just like you. She lights up the room without trying to. They say the rebel of the town gave up his way to finally settle down. And if we have a son someday, and if by chance he has my ways, won't worry much about the things he'll do, 'cause just like me, he'll have you. And there'll be whiskey, there'll be women, and there'll be whiskey, there'll be women, but there'll always be you.
That was Cole and Matt Reeves and Nate Wong inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. Together, they are the Cole Reeves Band, and they will open for David Allen Coe tonight at the Benton County Fairgrounds. Tickets and more information are available at hardluckentertainment.com. While the band was in the studio, they had time for one more song. This time it was a cover of the Jerry Lee Lewis classic, Whole Lot of Shaking Going On.
One, two, and a one, two, three. Why, come on over, baby, now, a whole lot of shaking going on. Why, they come on over, baby, now, and you got to move by the horn. We ain't begging, whole lot of shaking going on. Why, they come on over, baby, we got chicken in the barn. Bon, 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 bon. Come on over, baby, baby, got to move by the horn. We ain't begging, whole lot of shaking going on. Why you shake it, baby, shake it? Move it, baby, move it. Baby, baby, move it. Shake it one time for me. Why they come on over, baby, get me a whole lot of shaking going on. You ready to tear it up now? Let's go.
Reeves Band inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. A lot of fun with those three guys.
Yes, it was a lot of fun.
It was. And I don't know, somewhere we talked to them for a while. We had some other great things from that conversation that we couldn't fit in, but maybe somewhere down the road.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can get those in the air at some point.
Yes. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle. The 63rd Annual Opera in the Ozarks runs through July 19th at Inspiration Point near Eureka Springs. This festival of fully produced operas is an educational program for singers pursuing a career in the world of opera. The 2013 productions include Elixir of Love, Madame of Butterfly, and Pirates of Penzance. Tickets and more information available at opera.org.
A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Robinson.
Where is Robinson?
West of Taneytown.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Going to Arvest Ballpark tonight. Going to see the Naturals take on the Springfield Cardinals. Going with a lot of friends. Should be fun.
Yeah, I haven't been to a game in a while. The All-Star game, I think, may have been the last one I went to.
Tonight, the promotion is all about being tall. They're saluting
what?
All things tall. Anyone who's 6'5" or taller gets money off their ticket tonight.
That's really funny. Why tall?
It's a non-starter for, I don't know. It's a non-starter for me, however, so,
Maybe we can find you some heels or something.
Like Elton John 1977
some, like,
heels.
Yes. Or something. Help you out there.
You're going to Eureka?
I am tomorrow going to Eureka to hang out with some kitties at the Turpentine Creek and go to Opera in the Ozarks. Very excited. I was there to do a story, but I have never been able to go to one of the actual productions, so I'm pretty excited about that.
What time are you going to go see the cats?
Sometime during the day. I'm not sure. I know they have the caroling in the evening, so I haven't quite scheduled. You act like I plan things.
Okay.
I haven't quite scheduled my day yet, but that's where I'll be.
All right. And you know where you're going to be on Monday?
Here.
Yes.
Working.
Yes. You'll have Ozarks at Large by yourself on Monday.
I will.
We'll be back together on Tuesday.
Yes, sir. That's the plan.
That is the plan. And, I don't know. It's been a long week, hasn't it?
I feel like it
Not
has
a bad
been.
Week, but a long week.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe just because it was a short week with the holiday and stuff, right. And then you come back to a regular week and it just feels different.
I think that's...
Possibly?
Yes, I think that's accurate. There should be a word for that phenomenon.
There probably
is. That could be a contest coming up.
Oh, dear Lord.
So stay tuned. Get those minds thinking. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Asa Nekrahita.
Have a great Friday.